Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and it's great to be with you. It's good to have you here, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Craig Brimall is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend. He's Vice President of Retirement and Wealth Strategies at Ameriprise Financial Advisors, and he brings to us some news, some research that they have conducted on what the meaning of retirement is, especially from the emotional standpoint. Craig, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a delight to join you.
It's a dream come true, isn't it, Craig?
Yes, it is. my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Exactly. Okay, well, you guys have been studying this whole retirement thing, and did you find out that 21st century retirement doesn't look anything like 20th century retirement?
Yeah, it's really being redefined. As a matter of fact, if you look up retirement in the dictionary, it's got words in it that most of us baby boomers aren't going to relate to disappear, to go away, to withdraw.
Right.
And in the new retirement, now, by the way, the study is not just ours. We actually hired a couple of independent firms to do the study for us, AgeWave and Harris Interactive. And we are publishing it as of today. And as a matter of fact, there's some articles in the news and press that you might all be seeing.
Right.
Most studies look at the numbers, but everybody's been looking at the numbers of this age wave. People born between 1946 and 64, about 78 million of us. But this looked at the emotional aspects of retirement, those getting ready for retirement, those who've hit retirement, and those after retirement. We discovered some really interesting things.
What did you find out?
Well, first of all, the retirement is not a single event. It's a stage. It's a journey,
it's
not
a process,
a destination.
Isn't it?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. It's a process, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I like the journey idea. I think that's a better example.
Well, and unfortunately, a lot of people think of retirement as an endpoint. It's actually a beginning. Let me put it this way. For those who have a successful retirement, it's not an endpoint. It's a beginning. For those who have an unsuccessful retirement, they might consider it an ending, and actually they're not emotionally prepared for all the time they're going to have on their hands, and they're probably not financially prepared. So there's a combination of things here that creates a successful retirement.
Well, exactly, and it just takes on a whole different meaning for most of us, regardless of how anybody's prepared for retirement. You know, in the old days, I don't know if your research shows this, but in the old days, Craig, when someone retired, if they didn't have enough money to retire, they went back to work. But if they had enough money to retire, they typically, if they were financially independent, they basically just kind of, you know, hung out. But today, whether you have money or you don't have money, you're probably going to go back to being productive again, aren't you?
Well, what's interesting is what it showed is there is a segment that is going to do that, and they're probably going to redefine retirement. But here's what the numbers have shown us, and this is a little worrisome in some cases. Let me start with the most positive news first, and then we'll kind of work it backward. There is a group called the Empowered Reinventors, 19-20% of retirees that are going to stay actively engaged. They're probably going to stay employed, but what we mean by that is they'll stop their primary career, and then they're going to go independent contract back. They'll start their own business.
Maybe reinvent themselves.
Exactly. They do a lot of volunteer work. They happen to be, some of them run for public office. They stay engaged. They have the most successful retirements because they tell us, I am extremely happy, I am thrilled with life, and so forth. Let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum, those who have the worst retirements, and they're the worried strugglers. They did not financially prepare, and they didn't mentally prepare. Unfortunately, that number is about 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are they not financially ready, they never really had a clear vision of what they want to do in retirement. So having a clear vision and a plan of what you want to do seems to be the linchpin. Financial preparedness is extremely important, but knowing what you want to do seems to be the pinnacle of what we're after here.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the next group?
Well, there's two groups in between. So we'll go back to those empowered reinventors. The group, like you mentioned, the old definition of retirement of, hey, I just want to have leisure time and hang out. About 19-20% of people retiring, carefree contents, as we call them, are in that group. So they're financially prepared. They just don't have necessarily a lot. They don't want to turn the world upside down anymore. They just want to take it easy. But then we have another big group, 22% of uncertain searchers. They're financially okay, but they still don't know what they want to do. They're not really optimistic. They have real mixed feelings about retirement. So what kind of concerns this is we got a top group there, about 38%, that are probably going to have successful retirements. They're mentally prepared, probably financially prepared. We got this big group, 62% of the population on the bottom, that is ill-prepared or really not too sure what they want.
Well, what is your organization, what information would you like to convey to these folks that would to either one of the groups? What is your recommendations?
One of the things that we have developed is called the Dream Book. And I would highly recommend that people get the book. The other thing that's very interesting is the people who had the most successful retirements, if I could quickly touch on these 5 points, and then I'll come back to finish my thought there. Early planning, a clear vision of retirement, number two. Number three, continued engagement and activity. And then number four, leveraging professional advice. And then number five, financial preparedness. Now, leveraging professional advice, if you get a copy of the Dream Book, it's probably best to go through that with a financial advisor who's been trained to do that. What this book is all about, it spends little time on the financial part. Mm-hmm. It spends all the time on the emotional preparation.
What do you want? I've got a copy in front of me. It's a great job, by the way, Greg. And it's all about what you want, isn't it?
Yeah. Who do you want to spend time with? Where do you want to go? What else do you want to experience in life? What legacy do you want to leave? Questions about all sorts of things that a lot of... the most fascinating thing about this book is what we generally will do is a husband will take one, a wife, partner will take one, fill them out independently, and guess what you're going
to
find.
That could cause some trouble, it sounds to me like that. Well, I'm afraid that might be a little dangerous.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. Interestingly,
she fills it out and looks up at him and she says, "You know, honey, I got a plan, but it looks like you're not part of it."
Well, I guess that is a possibility, but you got to find that out sooner or later, I guess. Well, interestingly, what we've had happen is we've had this over and over and over again that husbands and wives will fill them out independently, get back together and say, "You know, we haven't talked about this stuff. Mm-hmm. You want to go to Egypt? Well, I want to go. We haven't talked about this." So with some great stories, a wonderful thing to go through, and you can get the Dream Book by going to our website, Ameriprise.com, and the study, The New Retirement Mindscape, is posted there as well.
Good. Well, I appreciate you guys making that available. Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. This is a very interesting angle on retirement, and, you know, my plan for retirement is to work as long as I can, as long as I'm physically able. I like working, and most I like vacationing, too. Maybe I'll stick a little bit of that in somewhere down the road. 20 after, I'm Jim Lassingame. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7. I'm 23 after the hour. Got to learn how to tell time one of these days. 23 after the hour. 47 until, or is that right? Yeah. Until the hour. 37 until the hour. It's good to be back with you. And we got a good friend, Craig Brimhall, a new friend, I should say, but soon to be old friend. Craig Brimhall is with us. He's with the Ameriprise Financial Advisors. He's bringing to us the Dream Book, Planning Beyond the Numbers. This is the emotional side of retirement. And Craig, I'm really glad that you guys are focusing on this because, you know, as a member of the baby boomers, and I'm not in the extreme leading edge, I'm not in the bleeding edge of the baby boomers, but I am kind of near the leading edge of the baby boomers. And so I am of the age where I could contemplate retirement, but I don't want to because I can't imagine, I guess this is my default position on retirement. I never want to stop being productive. The day I die, I want to have contributed something to planet Earth.
Agreed. And you are probably one of the empowered reinventors because that, by definition, is their outlook on life, is to stay productive. So the word retirement, as we talked about before, doesn't really mean anything. I'm the same way. I love what I do, although there are times I'd like to do it a little less. So maybe what for me, retirement will be is talking to Ameriprise about saying, I love what I do, but I want to just have a little more time to do other stuff as well.
Well, see, I don't even mind the time thing. To me, if you said, okay, Jim, you must talk about retirement, I would say, okay, I want to do what I'm doing, but I want to do it from wherever I want to do it from, whenever I want to do it. In other words, yeah. if I wanted to do my show or my writing or whatever from Tuscany for a month, I want to be able to go do that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Or from Maui or whatever. You know, that to me, that's retirement.
Yep. Well, actually, the
same job, different location.
The best and worst things about retirement that this showed is actually right on tune of what you just said there. The best things are control over one's time and freedom.
Yeah.
So you sort of hit the nail on the head there. And the worst things, interestingly enough, that came up were people's concern about health insurance costs, and interestingly, loss of social connectedness. Mm-hmm. If they leave a place of employment, they realize a lot of these folks they work with are really good friends, and now they're hanging around the house, you know, bugging their spouse too much. You know, too much husband, too little money. Remember that whole story?
What about business people? What did you, when you studied these folks, what did you find about people like me, small business owners?
Although we didn't segment them directly, here's some thoughts that we have on business owners. What's really interesting about business owners, the people who are entrepreneurs, they have a tendency to be empowered reinventors, because most entrepreneurs never stop being entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
They always want to reinvent the new challenge, a new business. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Lee Iacocca has tried to retire, two or three times now? Right?
More than that, I think.
I think he said that's the thing he's done the least successfully is retire.
Right. Right.
Well, that's great, as long as you know what you want, and he's still engaged. I don't know what age he is, but that is true.
He's 116, I think.
Yeah. So then I think the question is, do the business owners out there have the vision not only for themselves, but what can they do for their employees to have a successful retirement? Because, again, it's not just financial preparedness. It might even be more so the emotional aspect. Well, what we're probably going to be engaging with business owners on is maybe we can help the employees go through the dream book or something similar to help them be mentally prepared for retirement, because that seems to be the big dividing line here between successful and unsuccessful retirements.
Right. Well, and of course, in small business, there are those employees that it's probably a good thing for them to retire from the company. And then there are those employees that you hope never retire.
Right. And you know,
because you don't want to do without them.
Yeah, and I've seen as a phenomenon just by me being in the business for 26 years, a lot of people who will quote-unquote retire and then independent contract back to do, because they're key employees and you don't want to be without them, but they might be doing it 5, 6, 8 months out of the year, not necessarily 12 months out of the year. So we've seen a lot of that.
Well, you know, one thing, by the way, before we go any further, give us your website and tell us again how to get the book.
Ameriprise.com.
All right.
And at the website, you'll find a spot there for the study, the Retirement Mindscape. And the Dream Book should be listed there as well. And if for any reason anybody can't find it, feel free to just call the local Ameriprise office. We have an 800 number, which, wouldn't you know, I don't have memorized.
All right. Well, we'll have to get that for them. Ameriprise.com, AmeriPrise.com. Okay. You know, one of the things for small business owners that I'm excited about is they're going to just be more and more small businesses in the 21st century than ever before, and they all need help. And to me, someone who's had a small business and who's run one successfully and who's not running that business anymore, or maybe is, you know, wanting to go do something else, one of the things they can do is help other small business owners. There's a whole career out there for these reinventors you were talking about to help other small businesses, to be their mentors, and to do it for free if they, depending on how their financial situation is, maybe as a volunteer, but also as maybe as a consultant, a paid consultant. But there's a lot of opportunity out there, Craig.
Yes, there is. Matter of fact, not to bring it up, I'm trying to remember the name of the organization, SCORE.
SCORE, yeah. Support, right.
Of retired executives. I know
exactly.
Part.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, when you talk about one of the things in the Dream Book is the whole issue of legacy.
Right.
And if you're an entrepreneur and you say, you know, I love entrepreneurs, I'd like to teach some people how to be entrepreneurs, man alive, just think of the opportunity, not only teaching, or let's say speaking of teaching.
Right.
Don't you find it a little bit strange that we go through high school and learn about everything from health to sexuality as required
right.
classes. We never are required to take one class in family finance.
Exactly. And I think that's changed a little bit, But hey, Craig, we got more to talk about. Will you come back another time?
I certainly will.
Let's do it again. I've had a good time. I'm glad you came here, and congratulations again on the research.
Jim, it's been a pleasure.
Craig Bremhall, ladies and gentlemen, with Ameriprise. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.